Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 108. And last time we're going through some comments that are related to the fact that a veil is upon the face of the people of God. And in contrast to that, the veil was torn in half in the temple, making the road, the door open for the Holy Spirit, for the people that God was going to deal with, to enter and directly approach the throne of God and have a relationship with Him. In other words, to have light, knowledge, and understanding in contrast to all the rest of their own brethren who are going to remain in darkness. And so we were going through some comments from the Talmud that show what is it that happened to the rabbis at that time in relationship to the darkness that descended in a physical manner during the time of the crucifixion. As we read in verse 44, now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And an awful lot of things are behind the scene here that are happening, because it's not just a physical thing, it has to do with an awful lot of the spiritual condition of the people of God. That the light of the world is being crucified, and they do not realize it, because they are in so much darkness, and now even greater darkness was going to descend upon the people of God. And because of that, people that were the leaders of the nation, that thought that they were wise, whatever knowledge and understanding they had, they began to lose even that, and they went deeper and deeper and deeper into darkness, into a deep hole, into the black hole, some would call it. And so we're reading some comments from the Talmud showing what is it that happened to the rabbis at the time? What kind of stories they began to concoct and fabricate, claiming that Moses went up to heaven and he saw God writing all those things there, all the dots and the little notations on top of the words. And when he asked him about it, God in essence said to him, and obviously all that is a fabrication of somebody who was hallucinating spiritually and inventing that information and then, you know, spreading it around, and people began to believe it. And that was, in essence, a major attempt on the part of the devil, you know, of his demons, who appears as an angel of light, and his ministers, who did not even realize that they are his ministers, both in the Jewish community and later on in the so-called Christianity, world of Christianity, and so it is throughout the whole world. That was a major attempt on their part, and they were very successful because God allowed it to deceive mankind, to plunge them into great darkness. And this was a part of it. And of course, most Jews are raised into that deception generation after generation. And so it is in every given religion or culture. What do they know? They don't know any better. That's what, you know, the reason why Christ said, you know, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Because their deception began a long time before that. And so when Moses sees God doing that, he's telling him, according to this writing here, well, what I'm doing here is this. Generations from now, there shall live a man called Akiva ben Yosef, which was a matter of about 1600 years later, who will interpret a gigantic mountain of halachot, that is laws, from every dot of these letters. And that's how the deception goes. Man comes up with darkness, does not want to admit that it is darkness, may not even comprehend and understand what he's doing and what spirit is in him, and then wanting to justify it, then he goes all the way up there to the days of Moses and inventing this kind of a story, and people swallow it and believe it, because that was the nature of human beings, unfortunately, from the beginning of time. It is much easier for them to fall for the lies of the devil than for the truth of God. And that's the way, unfortunately, we function to this very day. That's what God said through Jeremiah, the prophet, that is, cursed be the man that puts his trust in man. And that's what David was saying. Do not put your trust in man, only in God. These words did not come from God. You do not see it in the Word of God. And yet, generation after generation, people read it and they think, oh, what a great enlightenment is that. And they believe it. And so this is what he said about this man. And then Moses said to God, in this supposed story that happened, Let me see this man. Whereupon he found himself sitting in the eighth row of Rabbi Akiva's academy. Now, you have to understand, what does it mean, the eighth row? In this story, you don't have the explanation, but the rabbis explain it. What it means is, based on the reality of the time, those who sit in the first and the second and the third rows, you know, were the best students. Obviously, in the first row, you were the best. You know, had greater knowledge and understanding and intelligence and ability to comprehend. And you were a little bit less than that. You were in the second, then the fourth, you see. By the time you get to the eighth row, the people that sat there are the people that didn't know anything about anything. And this is what they say, they put Moses. Imagine the audacity of those rabbis at that time. Or at least this man that came up with this concoction, and now this is spread it around. This is where they put Moses. Poor Moses. He was so dumb and ignorant, and Akiva was so far advanced in understanding by interpreting, you know, all those dots that God wrote a long time ago, that Moses was not even good enough to sit in the first row, or second or third, or even the seventh one. He had to sit in the ignoramuses section, eighth row, like little babes. And so this is where he found himself, in the eighth row of Rabbi Akiva's academy. And he listened to the rabbi and his disciples, but could not follow the discussion. Of course he could not. You see, when you see it from the point of view of God, the point of view of the prophets of God, the point of view of the truth, you realize what is really happening here. That these people, in their utter ignorance and darkness that fell upon them in a far greater way than ever before. You see, when they have rejected the light, the truth, and this very man, a Rabbi Akiva, when I was a kid, you know, used to be one of my heroes, and then I grew up and found out, you know, who that person really was in the sight of God. And obviously, my attitude is totally different now about the man. But then, you know, the man was born into ignorance and darkness, which was already very thick and deep at that time, and he was led, obviously, by a different spirit and didn't know it. So I cannot put, you know, personal blame on a person that was blind to begin with. You know, he has no eyes. What do you expect him to do? He can't see. And so he sits there, and he does not understand anything. Well, Moses, being a man of God, having the truth, having the light, seeing God face to face, a person that never existed who was in his position, who could see God face to face and sit with him and talk to him like a friend, and he was a very intimate friend of God. And poor Moses is so blind and ignorant, who does not understand anything when he sits before this awesome, great man, who is far greater than Moses, obviously, in the sight of all these people that, you know, invented this concoction. And we don't know whether it was Akiva himself or those that came later on that, you know, invented this this deception. But this is what is happening here. He does not get anything. He does not understand anything. And he was greatly grieved because, you know, he could not understand anything. But just then, he heard one of the disciples question their master in regard to a certain point of the law. And he's asking him, whence do you know this? Well, how do you know that? You know, you're telling me this point or that point. Well, how do you know it? And he answered, that is Rabbi Akiva answering, this is a halakha. That means this is a law given to Moses on Sinai, on Mount Sinai. Oh, well, Moses himself never knew anything about it, never understood, you know, all this, you know, some people would call it gobbledygook. And yet this supposedly is an instruction that he himself received in Sinai when he met God and sat with him 40 days and 40 nights, you know, nights, that is, and twice. You see how deceived people are, you know, how far down the drain they went, how much and how thick and deep that darkness was that descended upon the people of God. And as you read in Isaiah 29, the wisdom of their wise perished, you see, and not capable of understanding anymore. And so this is how they tell the story. That Moses supposedly received it in Sinai. And now Moses was content. Why would Moses be content? You see, it's so irrational when you think about it. And yet, that's the nature of the mind of a person that is given to another spirit. They're so confused in their own deception, they don't know the right from their left. And they go about inventing all kinds of stories, and others listen to it, and they're fascinated by that, and they think, oh, what a great enlightenment it is. And so it is with all religions on the face of the earth. People come up with all the kind of weird ideas, and people think what a great enlightenment it is. And Satan, the devil, you know, appears as an angel of light. And as Paul said, well, it's no marvel that his ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. So here is a man that appears to many others as ministers of righteousness. You see, many other people appeared like that, and that's what Christ was warning his disciples. This is the greatest worry you should have on your mind. The thing that should possess your mind, in essence, that should occupy your mind the most, to watch against false prophets. For many shall come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And they were coming in all directions. They were coming in the Jewish community. They were coming later on in the so-called Christian community. And they were everywhere. You see? Because God knows what the devil is up to all the time. And he allows him to test people to see whether they would put their trust in God and listen to God or men. When they begin to listen to men, this is where they go. They go by the wayside into that black hole, into that deep darkness. And so this is what supposedly this rabbi is saying, and Moses is very content. And then he says to God, you have a man like Akiva. I mean, he's so great, so mighty, you know, far greater than me, and yet you give the Torah to Israel through me. That means I'm a nobody, I'm nothing. Well, here's Rabbi Akiva, is a far greater person, far more intelligent and more understanding than me. Well, that's supposedly what enters into the mind of a person that thinks that he's a servant of God, or at least those who invented this story. That's how deceived people were. That's how deep down the very deep recesses of darkness that they fell through, you know. And they're right there at the bottom. I mean, you can use whatever words you want to use, but, you know, how foolish can a man be to invent this kind of lies and deceptions, and how foolish and blind and deceived and naked and wretched and poor and miserable people can be who swallow all these things. And yet that's exactly what happened in the past 2,000 years among all those who call themselves Christians. One day they wake up, forget about the Sabbath, forget about the holy days, forget about this and forget about that. We've got a new religion. We don't need the law. We don't need this. We don't need that. You see? Well, that happened everywhere in the Jewish community, and happened in the community that supposedly were to be followers of Jesus Christ. And so this is what Moses, he just, you know, is supposedly flabbergasted by that. He cannot comprehend and understand. So God says to him, be silent. So has it been decreed by me. You see? Well, that's the way I decided to make, you know, to do things. I raise a man who is a far greater man than you are in knowledge and understanding, and yet I decided to give the Torah through you. You see? But for him, I gave to interpret. In other words, what they are really aiming at, you see, is the Apostle Paul said, look, we are not, you know, in essence, stupid, you know, we're not foolish. We're not ignorant about the devices of the devil. You see, we know how he functions, because the mind of God, the knowledge of God, the law of God gives us this knowledge and understanding. And we see the way in which he deceives human beings, and we have to constantly stand on guard, not allow anybody that comes and gives us supposed enlightenment, if it is contrary to the law of God, the simplicity which is in Christ, we reject it. We don't care how great that man is, how many degrees he has, what kind of an oratory capability he has, you know, in terms of speaking. Some people are extremely impressed with the language of a man and forget about the message. And God did not call many mighty and noble. He called very few. He called very few who were able to speak in a very eloquent way. You see? That's what they said about the Apostle Paul. His speech is contemptible. Because, you know, those Greeks, those Latins, you know, those Romans, you know, were used to all those great orators in the Greek world. And when Paul came talking the simplicity of Christ in a simple language, you see, and maybe he did not know perfectly, you know, the Greek as others did. And so they did not have much respect for it. And to this very day, people have the same notion. They think that it is the language that counts instead of understanding. No, the language is just a vehicle to convey the message. And God chooses people who have a great ability in terms of the language, very few generally speaking, so people would not put their trust in men, And mostly, most of the prophets of God, most of the servants of God, were not that great kind of orators, you see. When you read the Bible in Hebrew, when you understand Hebrew, you realize that very quickly. You know, they don't have much knowledge of grammar because they don't follow grammar. And oftentimes they use past for present, present for past tense and things like that. And sentences which are cut in the middle, not full thought being conveyed there in words and all kind of things like that. Well, that didn't matter to God because the glory and the majesty is God, not of men. It's not in the language. You see, there are many in our midst who still haven't learned that, unfortunately. And so this is what is happening here, and that's how they present it. Poor Moses. You know, he was so backward. Is it called today, the primitive church, to show that we are far advanced. You know, they were the primitive church. You know, all the apostles were members of a primitive church, just like Moses was. But we are the high and the mighty. You know, we're the men of higher criticism and things like that. Well, nothing has changed. That's the very nature of the devil, and he always works that way. He appeals to the vanity in men. And so Moses replies to God, O Lord of the world, ye have permitted me to behold this man's learning. Let me see his reward. So, you know, Moses is thinking here, according to the story, that great man, he certainly is going to have an awesome reward. And God said, go return and see. And so Moses saw the body of the martyred Akiva, because that's what happened to Akiva. The Romans didn't like Akiva. Why? Because he was a rebel rouser in their sight. He was fomenting a lot of rebellion in the land. He was proclaiming Bar Kokhba, those who know Jewish history, a man that lived in the middle of the 2nd century, Bar Kokhba, who was a general, and he led a rebellion against Rome, and he was very successful for quite a while. And Akiva proclaimed him to be the Messiah, while he condemned the real Messiah, you see, and taught his students to have contempt for Jesus Christ, and even threw a lot of the believers who used to still attend the synagogue out of the synagogue, you see, and called them evildoers and all kind of names. Well, God, in essence, dealt with him accordingly, and he was killed by the Romans. And so he became a martyr. You know, they call him a martyr, not in the sight of God. Just like all those in the Middle East, you know, they commit all those heinous crimes, suicide bombers, and they call them martyrs, you know, in their own sight, but not in the sight of God. And so this is what Moses sees. He sees the martyred body of Akiva, and he said to God, is this the reward for such learning? You know, that's the way you reward your great ones, a man who is far greater than I am? God replied, be silent, thus have I decreed. Now that tells you an awful lot. Why is it that Judaism, and a lot of people don't realize that, the Judaism of the day of Christ is not the Judaism of a century later, or two or three or four, and certainly not today. Every generation, it evolves in terms of, you know, the different people that come and invent their own knowledge and understanding. They suck it from their finger. They claim this is enlightenment from God and so forth. And all kind of supposed great rabbis rise as time goes by, and people worship them, literally. You see, even when they die, when they're dead, you know, long ago, they go and bow down before their graves to this very day, and they worship them there, and they pray to them, and they speak to them, and they plead, you know, with God to save and deliver them in the name of this righteous man here, or righteous rabbi, you know, here and there, and all kind of things like that. That's how much into darkness the people of God went. You see, that's how deep and far out they are. And so it is in the so-called Christian community, because Satan is not choosy. When people forsake the simplicity of Christ and the knowledge of God, you see, they lose their understanding. They become blind, even the very people of God, as Christ said about his own people in the Laodicean area. That is era, or area, you know, that they thought that they were rich and increasing good and lacking in nothing. That's the way they saw themselves. A lot of people to this very day feel that way. And yet God said, no, you are just the opposite. You're poor and miserable and naked and wretched, you see. And so were the people of God becoming more and more and more. So even the knowledge of the law that they had at the time was gradually being diminished, and they were losing it. And they were becoming blind and ignorant, yet they thought that they were high and mighty and great, you know, and had mighty books of learning and things like that to this very day. And God calls it vomit. And so it is in the religion of Christianity. Much of the teachings in Christianity is vomit in the sight of God. You see, it's on both sides, Judaism and Christianity. A religion of vomit in the sight of God. When you depart from the pure word of Jesus Christ, O the God of Israel, from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse, and you add and you diminish from it, all you have is vomit. But you think you have great enlightenment. And every generation they come up with some new ideas. And then we read another aspect here from, again from the Talmud, from a section called Yerushalmi Pe'ah. Even the questions, here they say, even the questions which a learned student would ask his master in the generations to come were already revealed to Moses on Mount Sinai. You see, that's how they tried to gain credibility for every conceivable thought that entered into their mind. Now, this may sound to be as a very clever thing to do, but it's, you know, one of the most, you know, insane things that a human being can do. And of course, they don't recognize it because they're so blind, they're so naked, they're so poor, so they're so wretched in so many ways, even though they still have the law in the synagogue and they read it every Sabbath day. But they have eyes and they cannot see, and they have ears and they cannot hear, you see, and they have a heart and they cannot understand. Not that they're totally blind, as Paul said, that blindness in part fell upon the house of Israel and upon the people of God. But in his day, they were still much more enlightened in the truth than they are, you know, than they were a century later, and another century later, and another century later, and to this very day. You see, with the rabbis today, to the, you know, imagine that, rabbis who have very little faith in the Bible. You see, they don't like to tell their congregations everything about it because they know they'll lose their job. But that's the way they are, and you've got an awful lot of so-called ministers who go to seminaries and their faith is totally destroyed there, and they have very little faith in the Bible. They don't believe even in the resurrection, you see, and yet they're supposedly ministers and followers of Christ. And that's the way it is, you know, a huge darkness. So when we're reading this kind of a statement here about the darkness that descended there, it's more than just a cloud at the time. It was signifying the awesome darkness, the very deep, thick darkness that was going to descend on the people of God, on either side of the border, so to speak, or the fence, either the house of Judah or the house of Israel, who are now mostly, they all think that they're, you know, Gentiles and Christians and so forth. So that was another statement here, that even any given question that enters into your mind, that was already revealed to Moses. So that means it's all from God. This is what they are trying to say. And that's why all those false ministers in the nation of Israel, in ancient Israel, as well to this very day, always use this line, the Lord said that to me, the Lord put it in my heart. You see, they claim the highest authority. When all it is just something that they concocted in their own brain. And so those unclean spirits are there, all over the place. The spirit of lies and deceptions, and people believe it. They sincerely believe all their lies. In everything that comes out of their mouth, they believe it. And that's why we have to fear and tremble and be careful not to allow any foreign spirit, unclean spirit that comes through men or directly from the devil himself or his demons and enter into our minds and our hearts. That's why we have to study the Word of God day and night. And let the Spirit of God lead us to truth, not the spirit of men, not the spirit of any leader, you see, not the spirit of any speaker, anybody, you see, that includes anybody, and no exceptions. Never put our trust, we should never put our trust in any man, and most human beings who are, let's say, in the position of teachers, they should be the most careful not to trust even what comes out of their own mouth. You see, not to lean to their own understanding, not to believe in their own spirit. Because all of us are human beings. We can make mistakes, you know, we may be sincere, you see. And so we have to constantly study the Word of God day and night to let the Word of God wash us and cleanse us and purge us from every concept that entered into our minds that we thought was from God. And a lot of people say, well, I prayed about it and God revealed it to me. You see? And then they contradict each other. Well, God is not a God of confusion where he inspires everybody to believe just the opposite of you know, other people, and yet they're all just like this, you know, people, these Jews at this time. They all say, oh, Moses, Moses received it from God, and, you know, we received it from Moses, even though Moses never knew anything about it. You see, that's how blind and dumb people can be. And we are like that to this very day, and all of us are suspect to it, and none of us should ever think, well, you know, I'm beyond that, you know, I'm spiritual, nobody can ever get to me. Well, these are the ones who think that they stand. Paul said, you better take heed lest you fall, because you are presenting yourself as a ready target, an attractive target, a lucrative target to the devil to use. You see, so I have to be extremely careful, never trusting anyone, including self. You see, that's why we're commanded to prove the spirits, to try the spirits. Don't believe anybody. You see, and so this is what is happening here. And then there is another comment here in the Zohar. You know, the Zohar is something that a lot of people study. That's a part of the Kabbalah. That's the center and the core of the Kabbalah. And it has a lot of good things in it, because that's the nature of the devil, you know. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So whenever you read something, never just throw it, you know, like, you know, the baby in the bathwater. No matter how perverted it can be. Always remember and always know how the devil works. He's going to inject truth. And once you follow for it, you fall for it, and you follow in that, you know, path, in the footprints of the devil, believing truth, then he's going to stick, you know, into your plate, the poison, the lies, the deceptions. And so it is in the Zohar, and so it is in all the writings of men. You see, you find a lot of good there, and you cannot negate that, because if it is right, if it is good, if it is of God, if you can compared to the Bible, and is exactly the same, you cannot deny it. A lot of people do it, you know, because they don't have the ability to discern the error from the wrong, right from wrong. And we must be commanded as a priest of God, as God says. That's the job of the priest, the royal priesthood especially, to make a difference between the holy and the profane. Well, how are you going to make a difference if you throw it away? You see, you know, I have to separate between the wheat and the chaff. So don't be too, you know, don't be afraid to read books that, you know, do not have all the truth. You know, recognize that it does not. But when you study the Word of God day and night, you know, this is true, this is not. And so in the Zohar, this is what you see. And it says, perdition take anyone who maintains that any narrative in the Torah comes merely to tell us a piece of history and nothing more. In other words, they are preparing your mind to believe, hey, the simplicity of the Bible is not good enough for you. You have to go far beyond that. Now, if the mind of God, if the nature of God, if the Spirit of God leads you into the depth of the mind of God, that's one thing. But what happens when another spirit enters in? You are already conditioned to go far beyond it. And so anybody who comes and it sounds great, and it feels like it is an enlightenment, you're going to fall for it and believe it, you see? You see the mind of the devil functions here in this statement. And many other statements like that. That's just like they say today. You know, look, you know, in the old days, you know, they didn't know this, they didn't know that. Now we've got higher criticism. Now we understand better. Well, in certain areas you can, you see, in certain areas where there is more knowledge of archaeology and, you know, and language and things like that. So even then, you know, don't throw it all away. But always be careful. And unless you know the Word of God and you study day and night, you're going to be misled. So you got to put, that's what Paul means when he says, put the whole armor of God. Otherwise, Satan is going to get you in your weakest point. And we've got many, all of us. You see, when we are not fully attired with the garments of righteousness and the truth of God, and we know it by heart, and we study day and night, you see, and we grow in grace and knowledge and understanding, and we're willing always to be corrected, and not, you know, bashful about it, not allowing our ego to come in between, you see, and tell people, you know, whom do you think you are? I've been studying the Bible 40 years, 50 years, you know, whatever it may be. That doesn't make any difference. God, you know, reveals certain bits and pieces of truth to babes and sucklings, but not to the prudent and the high and the wise and the mighty, you know, when they are arrogant in their own sight. And so they make this statement here to prepare your mind to accept, in essence, vomit. Of course, you don't know it if you don't, you know, if you just follow this person and you are awed, you know, by his letters, you know, after him, PhDs and greatness, and then what everybody says, oh, what a great teacher it is, you see. It's a bribe that you're taking, in essence. You don't realize that it is. You're being bribed, you know, by the attitudes of others toward that person. And so the Zohar here in Zohar, in the 452a, this is what it says, and then continues, were the Bible a mere book of tales and everyday matters, we could compose a text of even greater excellence. You know, if that's all the Bible was. The Bible has clothed itself in the outer garments of the world. And woe to the person who looks at the garment as being the Torah. In other words, what they are saying now, look, the Torah is just the outer, it's just the outer shell. But if you really want to know the truth, you come to us. We'll give you the secrets of the Torah. We'll give you the hidden parts of the Torah, which nobody knows, but we do. You see? Because we're far greater and mightier and more intelligent in understanding than even Moses was. That's what they were saying. This is what we were reading in the first part, in the Talmud, you know, in the section of Menachot 29b. Moses himself, you know, feels like an eighth grader, you know, eighth row student there, you know, way in the back, you know, so backward in his understanding in comparison to Rabbi Akiva. And he wonders about it. And he's all struck by Rabbi Akiva, you know, in the story, obviously. And it's all vomit. It's all garbage, yet people fell for it generation after generation to this very day. You see? Because they think they went to great teachers and they told them that and said, wow, what a great revelation. And people are fascinated by that. People are always fascinated with the mind of the devil and they don't know it. Because he always appears as an angel of enlightenment. And you find so many religions, they all begin that way. I just had an enlightenment, you know? And people begin to follow that person, and this person, the other person. Sometimes they end up with the followers that number in the hundreds of millions. Now, there are a few of them like that around this earth. You see, that's why Christ said, you better be careful, because many are going to come in my name, or they come in somebody else's name, or they come in the name of a mighty angel, as they say. You know, they don't know the name of the angel, so they say, oh, it's just a mighty angel. You see, it's not an average angel, but always a mighty angel told me this and told me that. Several religions were based on that. Islam is based on that, a mighty angel, and he never said the name of the angel because he never knew. You see, and so forth, and many other, you know, other people, you know, follow that. And the swallows, some people would say, you know, hook, line, and sinker, you know, the whole thing, without even checking it out, without proving the spirits, without checking it with the Word of God, you see. When to begin with, people don't believe in it, have no respect for it. You see, how are they going to prove anything? That's why Christ had to tell his own people who were reading the book of the law every Sabbath day, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. So what value is it to read Moses and you don't believe it? Because people have been taught, well, you know, don't worry about Moses. You know, Moses is just a facade, you see. Let's go deeper and deeper and we'll tell you what it means. Even Moses himself didn't know it, you see. But we do, you know. We can follow a rabbi who is a far greater man than Moses, Rabbi Akiva, and so forth. In other religions, all do it. That's the way the devil works. And many of us are falling for it. And sometimes we make ourselves the great teacher, the great rabbi, and the great this and the great that, and we follow ourselves. We become that God in our own sight. That's what God warned us in the first commandment. You shall not go after other Elohim. You see? He is Elohim, but he's the true one. That means a deity. That's all it means, Elohim, in the plural. He says, don't go after other deities, after other Elohim. You know, Elohim by itself, or some people say God later on, there's nothing holy about it. It means deity. Now, if it is the true deity, that's one thing. But just, you know, as a name deity, you know, it's a generic for people or, you know, beings far and greater and higher above. And so this is what the Zohar says about the Bible. You know, and the Bible clothed itself in the outer garments of the world. And so that's all the Bible is. And just the peel of the garlic, you know, or the onion. It's just outside. That means there is nothing really in it. Not much. You got to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Well, when people are sold on that kind of reasoning, they're going to cast the Torah, the law of God, the Word of God, the simplicity of Christ behind their back, and they're going to go for the deeper and higher meaning, you know, and the very, very profound meaning. And being marooned and spaced out, they will think that they are encompassing the universe in their own mind. And they begin to worship themselves, and others begin to worship them. And they all think that they are enlightened, and they don't realize that they're all in that deep darkness. And a veil is covering the face of all nations of the earth, and they don't know it. They don't know that the devil has deceived all of them. Very few know that. And very few are willing to admit that and to acknowledge that, because those people who begin to read the Bible and see how different it is, how contradictory it is to their faith, to their beliefs, to every thought and emotion and feeling they have, you see, the people who are willing to submit to that mind of God, the genuine mind of God, the simplicity that is in the nature of God, they truly begin to expand their minds and hearts in genuine truth, not in the vomit that they've been fed all their lives, being taught that it was a genuine truth, while the Torah is nothing. And that's how they present it here. The Bible is just the outer garment of the world. And woe to the person who looks at the garment as being the Torah. So woe to the person who believes the Torah. That's in essence what they are saying. Woe to the person that believed Moses. Of course, they don't say it in these words, but that's exactly what they are saying. Don't bother about what Moses said, what God said to Moses. You go into the deeper meanings of what it means, and we'll tell you what it is. That's all they are saying. And people fell for it. That's why they call it mystery. A mystery is not only in the so-called Christian religion. Well, you know, you have the mystery religion. The mystery was also in Judaism. That's what the Zohar is all about. That's what the Kabbalah, and today people by the millions all over the world, and it was happening also in the past. Even Catholics and Protestants were following the Kabbalah. A lot of people don't know that, because they saw an awful lot of, from their point of view, enlightenment in it. And it was all of the nature and the mind of the devil. You see, that was the depth of Satan that they were swimming in, and they didn't know it, because they were led by other spirits, and they thought that they are led by spirits of God, you know, angelic beings, enlightened spirits. And so that's how they regard the Bible, the Torah, just outer garment, and woe to the person that, you know, is going to believe in it, follow it, you know. Oh, tell you, what a simpleton you are, you know, you're a member of a primitive church. You know, you're so dumb and blind and naked and wretched, while we are the wise and the mighty and the high. Well, not in the sight of God, just the opposite. And so they say, hidden from the external literal view is the root soul of all. So the real hidden truth is not in the Torah. You see, Torah is just the outer garment, just a facade, just, you know, the thin veneer, just the peel of the onion or the garlic. And so they would look on people who just study the Torah and meditate on it day and night as a bunch of fools. That's how far, deep down the drain, into darkness, the people of God went. And so this statement here about what was happening in the day, that moment, in those moments, those hours when Christ was being crucified, when the light of the world was being extinguished, this is what took over, as Christ called it before. The hour of darkness. It engulfed the face of the whole earth. And it filled, you know, all the nooks and crannies of the minds of the rabbis. And then they began to continue to deceive their followers generation after generation to this very day, along with a mixture of truth. You see, because they still continued to read the Torah. They still were far more enlightened than the people in the world of Christianity, for the simple reason they continued to read the Torah and the prophets. You see? And to the degree that others did that too, well, to that degree they had more knowledge and understanding than others, you know, who were just superstitious. They followed, you know, whatever the priest told them and their minister or whatever. And most people are in that category, unfortunately. And so this is what we read in the Zohar. And then we'll read another comment, and then we'll continue. Pshita derav Kahana, in other words, a commentary by a certain famous rabbi. And, you know, people study all those things from the Talmud and other writings, and they follow it. That's a religion. That's a religion of Judaism. People do not realize what Judaism is all about. There are many forms of Judaism. Not only one. Many of them, because they constantly evolve and change, and, you know, depending on this rabbi, that rabbi, whatever book you study, and not everybody believes the same. They all argue with one another and debate with one another. And there is a biblical Judaism. That was the simplicity of the truth. And with all the darkness that was in the Pharisees and even the Sadducees, they still were much more enlightened at the time. So you cannot even compare their Judaism with all the do's and don'ts that they've added with that which came later on, a generation later, which was far, far more inferior and unenlightened, you know, in depth of darkness than the generation of Jesus Christ. Many of them still, at the time, knew about the two divine beings, knew about many other things, have a better understanding of the kingdom of God. None of them believed in going to heaven or hell. They all knew that, you know, those were pagan doctrines and so forth. They had much more truth. But when that cloud descended on Israel, and then on all those who supposedly became followers of the Commonwealth of Israel, well, they all wallowed in the darkness, and they are to this very day. And so, we read in this last comment, in the Pshita de Rav Kahana, oh, that means the Pshita, that is an explanation, commentary of Rav Kahana, all heard the same words and same voice. That means, you know, the people that stood in Mount Sinai, but each heard the voice in a different way, corresponding to the individuality of each. That was God's way of speaking to them. And as the same voice sounded differently to each one, so did the divine vision appear differently to each. What does that mean? You see, when you begin to perceive and comprehend what goes on in the mind of this person, all he's saying is, there is no truth. It's all relative. It's the way you understand it. So it's not in a modern philosophy, the truth is relative, relativism. That's an ancient thing. That was from the Garden of Eden. Well, God said that. Well, how do you know that he's telling you the truth? You know, it's all relative. You know, that's the way he understood it, but he may have meant something else. How do you know? There's nothing new about it. That's what he's saying here. And so there are people today of all kind of denominations, all kind of backgrounds, all kind of understanding, and they all say, well, we're all the body of Christ. We're all Christians. Well, you know, we all have different understanding, but we're all the body of Christ. How can that be? When everybody thinks differently and everybody contradicts everybody else. You see, that's not the way truth functions. It's either true or it's not. You see, truth is truth. And if God tells you that the Sabbath is on the seventh day, you cannot say, well, you know, I don't see any wrong thing, you know, doing it the eighth day. I don't see anything wrong about doing it every day. You see, and different religions, you know, have different days. And so it is for this doctrine, that doctrine, the other doctrine. We all worship God in our own way. And God is pleased with everybody, and there are all kind of ways to worship God, you know, through all kind of religions. And even a lot of rabbis even believe that. Now, there are many ways, you know, there are more liberal rabbis, you know, even orthodox of them. There are many ways, you know, to reach God through Buddhism, through Islam, through this religion, that religion. Because, you know, God knows everybody's different, and so he's got to deal with them based on their differences. No, God said, no, that's not the way I work. One way, one law shall be to you and to the stranger. He's not interested in confusion. And yet they're proposing that confusion is the nature of God. And confusion is the law of Moses. Everybody understands it the way they want. So let's not argue about it. You see? And that's in essence what you see in the Talmud. They don't argue, you know, they don't point the finger at one another. They just say, well, Rabbi so-and-so said that, Rabbi so-and-so said this, and Rabbi so-and-so said that. Well, you pick your choice. And that's Judaism. That's vomit in the sight of God. That's not the law of God. That's why you can never have any basis to argue anything about anything with anybody. You see? And you read it in this statement. What is it that created this state of mind that produced all this supposed great body of learnings? Where everybody says something different. And all the experts disagree, and they all supposedly are experts. What are the experts in? If they're all disagreeing with one another. That's the way the world works. Well, anyway, I think we'll stop at this point with this comments. Give you a background of this statement. That great darkness, as we see in Luke, in verse 44, now it was about the sixth hour, 12 o'clock, midday, half a day. And a day when, you know, the sun is right on top. Everything should be brilliant. Light should be everywhere. Everybody should be able to see everything. What is it that is happening? God is telling them, no, you are not in the light. You're in a very deep, thick darkness, and you don't realize it. You see? And that's what he told them through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 25 of Isaiah, about the time when he's going to put away all this darkness. He says in verse 7, "And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people," that's including his, "and the veil that is spread over all nations," every single one of them, barring none. And when that crucifixion happened, darkness descended not only on the people of God, but on the whole earth. And only the very few who were willing to go in the narrow path and the narrow strait, and only few found it, are going to walk in the light. And they are the only ones that follow Jesus Christ. That's why he says, "I'm the way, I'm the light." You see? Don't follow other spirits, other leaders, other teachings, other high and mighty. There is Moses and there is me. And that's why he told them, if you don't believe Moses, how can you believe me? Or as Abraham said in the parable, if they don't believe Moses, the one rose from the dead, they would not believe him. And so it is to this very day. And that's what Christ was warning all of us. Take heed, because many will come in my name claiming that I am God, I am Christ, I am the source of light, and they shall deceive many. Anyway, and so it is to this very day. Most of us are still in that deep, dark cloud, and God warns us, you either come out of it, or you're going to be partakers of the plagues that will come upon those who walk in that darkness. And we're going to stop at this point. Again, this is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson.